Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. We've got an exciting show here for you today. Thank you for tuning in. We sure appreciate our listeners. You know, it's coming up close to election time, so we have a couple of guests here to talk to us on that topic. One is the Craven County Board of Elections Administrator. Is that correct?
Director.
Why can't I ever get that right?
I don't know, because you went to training today and I even
directors
told
do
you
movies and stuff, you know, TV and things like that. Melanie Ray from the Craven County Board of Elections. And we also have Major Dave Getz. Yeah, he's been to one of our meetings. If you attend our public meetings, he did a breakdown presentation on the stats on fraudulent votes in the last election. And he's here to give us an update on that and some of the activities that are going on because of that. And we have our usual crew here also. We have Hal and Rainer James. Yeah. Hal is our watchdog chairman. Rainer is the chair of our North Carolina Legislative Action Committee. We have Diane Rufino. Diane Rufino is an attorney, a constitutional scholar. She studied under Judge Napolitano. And we have Bob Griswold with us tonight.
Hello.
Okay, first thing we need to do is take care of some housekeeping and hear from our sponsors, and we'll get right back and start the program.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. For fresh, delicious seafood, come to Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro. We've got a big variety to choose from. Do you like shrimp, scallops, salmon? We've got them. We've got all sorts of fish. Right now, come for the soft-shell crabs from our place. Sausage and salmon we've smoked with pecan wood, devil crabs, and even peanuts we boil ourselves. You can also pick up seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sauces at Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 till 6. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, Melanie, there's been some changes in the procedures for this election since last election. Can you fill us in on what they might be?
Currently in our elections, you may know that we currently do not have new boards appointed. Governor Cooper has taken this issue to courts, all the way to the North Carolina Supreme Court, August 28th, but they threw it back to the lower court for them to look at the evidence or the court case again and then come back to the North Carolina Supreme Court. What that means for us and for all 100 counties is the new four-member boards, according to the new law, cannot be appointed until the governor appoints the state board, which will become an eight-member board from a previous five, so they can appoint our local boards. Luckily for Craven County, my three board members decided to stay on until a new board is appointed. That is until the end of this month. So then I will go to a two-member board, and then I will have a one-member board by the time the November starts, because they were not going to be returning, two of them, but they have. We were able to have them to make some decisions that we needed to have for the October 10th election, obviously.
Well, what is his rationale for not appointing a new board?
Before McCrory left is when they changed the makeup. They merged the North Carolina State Board and the Ethics Commission, which internally would make the five-member state board go to eight and make it even party, four Democrats, four Republicans. Make our local boards go from two of the party of the governor and then one is the other party to a four-member board, two Democrats, two Republicans. So, and it took some of the powers away from the governor on how he appointed these people.
Melanie, does that change the ethics part of it? Does that change the way you've been operating?
Not really. The state board is still our board. It's just now called the North Carolina State Board and Ethics Commission. The title changed, and they had to move. Our state board had to move to where the Ethics Commission is into a new building. So that kind of has changed. They may look at more ethics-type things as far as elections are concerned. We did have some training on it.
That's what I was wondering.
But really, nothing really so much in procedures. Most of our procedures do basically stay the same, but right now it is kind of hard. There are 14 counties in North Carolina that have two members or a one-member board. The legislature did on August 28th, or the court did on August 28th, say that those who have two-member boards can meet now, and those two have to agree unanimously, like my three-member board has to agree unanimously. What could that have affected? It could have affected the appointment of new board members, the appointment of new precinct officials. If they didn't agree, then the former precinct official would be asked to stay in position until we could have a unanimous vote on a board. Luckily, right, we had unanimous votes.
Another thing that's changed because of having a new elected Democrat as Democratic governor is the judge appointments at each of the polls now. It usually follows whatever party the governor's with. That's the chief judge. And
yes, statutorily, it is not. It does not have to be the party of the governor, your chief judge. That is custom. Most North Carolina counties do try to make their chief judges in the precincts be the same party as the governor. But you do not have to do that statutorily. So it is not law that we have to do that. It's more of a custom. And our county does choose to follow that custom. So we do have new Democrat chief judges this time. But most of them were the Democrat judge in the previous 4 years and were moved up to the chief judge position.
Right. Also, there's three different ways you can vote. You want to tell us what those are?
Absolutely. In North Carolina, there are three ways to vote. So really, a voter or a non-voter to be who hasn't registered really has no excuse. The first one, of course, is absentee by mail. In general elections, they can have a ballot mailed to them 60 days prior. In the municipal elections, which we are having this year, it's 30 days prior. is you have to fill out a state request form, and you can, we like to say, you can vote your ballot on your table with your coffee or your wine or your drink of choice, however you would like to do it. We like to joke about that, or it's not really a joke because voting is not a joke, but we like to kind of make it light to where people can, you have a choice. It's on your kitchen table. It's 24/7 voting before Election Day, and you turn your ballot in Election Day or earlier. The second one is early voting, which we'd like to say it's one-stop voting. That starts the third Thursday before the election now. It's a 17-day period, but we do not have to be open the whole 17 days. It goes into the Saturday before the election. That you go during the hours and you can pick your day. You can even register at this time and vote the same day if you miss the voter deadline.
And isn't that the origin of the name One Stop? You can
one
register
stop.
And vote at
yes,
the same time.
Yes, absentee by mail and One Stop is all called absentee voting. Why? Because you're absent on Election Day. That's why it's called absentee voting.
You know, I've seen a lot of people at the polls that were absent on Election Day.
Can we clarify a question that I've heard floated around, and I know a lot of people that are listening aren't as sure as, about this as some of the other people in the room. When you vote, you're actually on those early days where you're not technically enrolled to vote before. They have not verified your address. So you cast what's called a provisional ballot. No? You're shaking
your head. That's incorrect.
Okay. So how does that count? How are you verified to make sure you're not registering fraudulently on Election Day or in multiple places?
Current legislation is you can same day register and vote. When you come to register, you have to have some kind of document to prove your residency, whether that be driver's license with the address you're registering with, or utility bill or government bill, some kind of government document or utility bill. There's a limited list they have to bring with them to register. They just can't show up without any documentation and register. Those that do show up without documentation then vote a provisional. But you are correct. We send the voter card within 2 days once they register in the mail. Now our system, it's a 15-day system. By canvas, if a card is returned, non-deliverable, we have to send a second one out real quickly. If the second one is returned, we can pull that ballot because early voting ballots are retrievable and that vote will not cast. But you are correct. If it is past the canvas date, those votes were counted.
Okay.
This is a little off topic, but I was wondering why we have such a long early voting period. I can understand maybe the weekend before Election Day, but I mean, we have over a week, in some cases 2 weeks. And
you would have to ask the legislature.
Does anybody
that
know
question?
That? Because up until the late 1990s, right, all we had was Election Day if you didn't vote Election
Correct.
Day.
Correct. And before that, the absentee period, you had to have an excuse. Mm-hmm. Early voting started, I believe, in 2004. It was 17 days. In 13, it went down to 10 days. But then with all the lawsuits of that House bill with voter ID and all that was in the same one, it got back to 17 days and 16.
And in that lawsuit, the judges in that Fourth Circuit made it almost sound like it was an entitlement to have that length of a period and have those Sundays and have all that kind of stuff. It elevated privilege maybe, but to an entitlement. And I thought that was very troubling.
There's a couple answers, and one of them is the textbook answer, and then there's the non-PC answer, which
let's have
was,
them both.
that I recall, there was plenty of people who said that, whether it be hourly wages or by different demographics, there were certain people that it would be harder to get to the polls, and therefore they had to have an extended period. And that was the compromise with the voter ID, which is why such a long period went through. And then the voter ID period that got struck down, but we kept this long period. Am I correct historically on how that went?
Yeah, you're pretty much correct in how that went down. Basically, like I said, in North Carolina, you have three options. You get to choose which option. With absentee by mail, like I said, you can get it 2 months or a month before. Early voting, you choose which day. But if you wait till Election Day to vote, you have to take what happens Election Day, whether it's weather, whether it's computer glitch, whether it's a long line. So in North Carolina, we are very privileged here to be able to choose how we want to vote and when we want to vote. But there are rules and regulations and policies that have to be followed for whatever day that you choose.
Well, Melanie, the upcoming election is the 10th.
Correct.
Okay. And that's just for New Bern municipality here in Craven County?
Mm-hmm. October 10 is for the city of New Bern only. And it's the mayor and all the aldermen.
Okay. I heard you make a statement that in municipal elections, the voters turnout is usually 6% or less.
In most cases. In 2013 for City of New Bern, roughly they have between 20,000 to 21,000 registered voters. In 2013, it was a little over 21,000 registered voters, and only 25.6% voted. But that's good in normal municipalities. The majority of municipalities a lot of times do see about a 6% or less turnout in a municipality.
Folks, I'd like to point out that statistic right there is frightening. You can sit at home and complain about what's going on in your city, your town, your county, or whatever. But ultimately, if you're not part of that 6%, you're part of the problem.
Well, it does sound like New Bern did better than that recently.
Well, yeah. And
significantly better than that.
But in a town of 100,000 people, that means 3,500 people decide your government. That's scary.
True.
That's correct. And when I go out and speak in public, I tell people that the turnout's kind of backwards. Your highest percentage should be in your local municipalities, not your big presidential and general elections. Mm-hmm. It should be turned. It should be reversed, because that's who affects your pocket first.
Major Dave, you have
actually
that?
Maybe all of the above would be good.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to say that, of course, I've followed what went on in Charlotte in Mecklenburg County. And in their last mayoral election a couple of years ago, when Jennifer Roberts was elected mayor, their turnout was only about 8%. She just got defeated Tuesday. They had their new primary. And their turnout countywide was 7.95%. Beyond that, though, the interesting part was, if you look at it just by party, Democrat turnout percent was almost 11%. Mm-hmm. And the Republican turnout didn't even break 6%.
Wow. I do have to say, the Charlotte was also interrupted by some emergency procedures with Irma.
They were.
So that could have affected some of the turnout.
But their total number of votes cast was 43,000 in a city with 544,000 registered voters.
Correct.
That means over 500,000 people sat home and didn't vote on Tuesday.
Ouch.
Correct.
Hal?
Rick, I just wanted to mention that on the municipal election in New Bern, that CCTA is holding an event where we will have the candidates for mayor and for alderman. And there are 15 people in that election, and we have 14 people have accepted an invitation to come.
All right. So what Hal's talking about is we're having a barbecue fundraiser dinner, and at that event at 6 p.m., those candidates each get a turn to give their stump speech.
On September the 23rd, Saturday.
September 23rd.
From 4 to 7:30.
Correct. Here in New Bern at the Highland Park Christian Church, 905 Carolina Avenue, and that's on September 23rd. Barbecue is being provided by Moore's Barbecue, one of our sponsors. And so I guarantee
you. And some homemade desserts.
Right, it's going to be good. We're going to take a quick break right now. We'll come back and wrap up with Melanie, and then we'll move on to some other exciting stuff.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, Melanie, you told us a little bit about the changes that are going on. What could voters do to help improve the situation for you to make things go more smoothly?
As always, voters do need to educate themselves on what the voting laws are in the states or the counties or the municipalities that they live in. We have information on our website. State boards have information on their websites. Also, that you have your correct address on your voter record. It is better to do that 25 days before the election, which is voter registration deadline is this Friday for the October 10th election. It's 25 days before an election, that your records are correct. That helps us tremendously. And also that you know what your home precinct is. Educating yourself, and all these are easily found either by a phone call to us or searching online with our website or the North Carolina State Board website. You knowing where you're going, knowing who the candidates are, looking at a sample ballot, and being educated on what the options are for you to vote and following those options helps us tremendously.
All right. And one thing we didn't mention, the voter ID issue, is there is no voter ID. That's still tied up in litigation and appeals
right.
and all
you
that
just
stuff.
Have to state your name and your residence address and vote at the precinct where your residence address has you to go.
The only reason you'll need that ID is if
you're a first-time voter who did not provide your Social Security or driver's license number when you registered, but you know that before you get there because you're sent a card and a letter previously.
All right. Okay, well, thank you, Melanie, sharing with us. We're going to move on to another topic that the election season brings up, and that's the voter fraud issue. And there's a certain segment of the population that will swear to you there's no such thing as voter fraud. And then there's people like Major Dave, who has spent countless hours doing the research and digging through all the records. And Dave, do we have voter fraud?
Yes, we do. And I'm glad you used that term voter fraud because my analysis has exposed election fraud. And I made that distinction, Rick, because voter fraud implies an action of a voter.
Right.
Typically, it's what I call the front end numbers, the number of registered voters and the number of ballots cast. But the numbers I've been looking at, Rick, come from the State Board of Elections website and the archive files that they make public that actually show the candidates running and the number of votes they were awarded and what precincts those votes came from. that's where I'm finding the major discrepancies in the record. They're both part of the problem, but they're two entirely separate issues.
I understand. Well, share with us what you have found.
Well, I got started on this last November, November 15th, to be exact, just as they were beginning the canvass. Questions were being raised about failed memory cards in Durham and the 90,000 votes that they dumped in from their one-stop site at the last minute. And, you know, my military background had me at one point working as a project manager for a major automation contract at the Pentagon. I'd worked with relational databases. I knew how programs like these basically function. And I started seeing inconsistencies in some of the data as it came out. Now, we know that following Election Day, there are only two types of ballots that can be counted. And those are the late arriving by mail ballots that come from our military and our overseas members, because they get an additional 10 days to have their ballot received back here, and the provisional ballots that are inspected and verified during the canvass. Now, as we were going through each day from the 15th of November forward, counties would upload their amended totals as they approve those provisional ballots and receive those by mail ballots. And as I was tracking them, I found that between then and December 13th, when the results were finalized, let's take the governor's race, for example. There was a total of 50,846 more votes that were added into that race between Roy Cooper, Pat McCrory, and Lon Cecil, the Libertarian. The problem was, is that when I looked at their absentee by mail file, which shows the name of each person who voted absentee by mail, and I looked at their provisional file, which shows who voted provisional ballots, which ones were approved and which ones weren't, there were only 36,000 and some additional ballots approved. That's a 13,987 ballot shortfall of accounting for all those additional votes. Now, there was a slightly lesser number of votes that showed up in some of the other council state races. But there were four races that clearly benefited more so than any of the other council state races or statewide candidate races. And those just happened to be the governor, the attorney general, the state auditor, and their secretary of state. And I don't think it's a coincidence that those four positions just happen to be the four who have a statutory or constitutional duty to control elections in North Carolina and the investigation of any voter fraud. I believe that the Democrats have known that if they ever wanted to regain control of the legislature in Raleigh, the first thing they had to do was regain control of the elections, and that's exactly what happened in November. Those four positions were turned back over to the Democrats. So they now control elections in North Carolina. But those numbers defy every convention of down ballot drop-off. And by that, I mean, you know, there's usually a certain number who vote for president and a slightly lesser number will vote for senator and a few less for governor. And it trickles on down.
All right.
And a lot of the lower tier races don't even get voted on at all. Well, wouldn't it strike you as odd that six Democrats on the ballot got more votes than Hillary Clinton?
Yeah.
Elaine Marshall got 178,000 more votes than Hillary Clinton did. And Hillary's out there telling people, well, voter suppression caused me to lose North Carolina. Well, that voter suppression didn't stop those 178,000 people from voting for other Democrats.
Right.
You know, that doesn't make sense. And it just so happens that the four top Democrat vote getters in North Carolina were those very same four people: governor, attorney general, state auditor, and secretary of state.
So I'm assuming you made some inquiries to try to find out what caused the discrepancy.
Well, I'm still working on it. I've been briefing members of the legislature here in Raleigh since February of this year as I've developed this, because it's taken me months to go through all these files, to look at the different races in 100 different counties. And, you know, God bless my wife. She has been very patient with me and put up with me as I've devoted this time to doing it. But I was a military police investigator, and I've got that innate curiosity. And when something like this doesn't make sense, it demands an answer. You know, early on, I discovered of the 38 candidates on the ballot statewide, if you compare the official posted results of how many votes they got versus the results file that the board made public, only two candidates are reported in that file as having the same number of votes as was officially certified. And this should balance like a checkbook. You don't get a bank statement and they're off by $5 and they say, well, it's only $5 and they're on no foul. You know, every single vote should be counted. And then I found there are three candidates in there who got a negative number of votes. Now, what ballot can you cast that generates a negative number? It doesn't happen. And I'm not putting Melanie on the spot because it's only happened in one county. And I think we'll eventually find how it happened. But what alarmed me the most, Rick, is not only that the system even allowed the negative number, it didn't catch it. It didn't raise an alarm or flag for anybody to say, hey, we got something wrong here.
So do you think it's a deficiency in the system itself or a manipulation of the system?
I actually think it's intentional manipulation of the data.
But unless you have an investigation, nobody will know. You can't hide behind there's no problem here, because there clearly is, for one. And for two, it's problematic to see. I would be more fine if there were occasionally elections that were either so close or occasionally the result when you actually went to certify it might have told somebody, oh, wait, we called the wrong person on election night because we thought it was going to be larger. And whenever all these provisional ballots and whatnot came in, it turns out what we thought was an insurmountable couple thousand votes, there was enough votes to really flip this by a very narrow margin. The fact that those things don't happen and the fact that the total counts don't balance like a checkbook is highly problematic for anybody who wants us to have free and fair elections that people can be confident in. Because win or lose, when people stop believing the elections matter, that's why you only get 8% turnout.
Right. And the illustration you had with Hillary and the other ones getting more votes than Hillary, you know, I found it curious that overwhelmingly Republicans were elected until you got to the governor's office. Now, why would the whole state go Republican except for the governor's office? That didn't jive with me.
Hal? Excellent point.
Well, just to be the devil's advocate a little bit, Major Dave, there may have been some people who just said, I couldn't vote for Hillary because she's been dishonest, or we think she's been dishonest. We don't trust Hillary. But we're Democrats, and we want to vote for Democrats. How does that sound?
That's very possible, and I'm sure that was the case for some people. You had the Never Trump crowd. You had the Bernie Sanders supporters who were the Never Hillary crowd.
Right.
You had that happening on both sides.
You did.
But I have tried to stay away from the theorizing, you know, why all this happened up to this point and focus just on the numbers. I've not tried to attach a real partisan impact to it.
But
you've reached the point now where the information is so developed that you can see that, you know, six Republicans, Elaine Marshall was the top Democrat vote getter in the state, but there were six Republicans who got more votes than her in total votes, including some down ballot Court of Appeals candidates like Bob Hunter. I mean, he was third. Steve Troxler was the top vote getter in the state, our Commissioner of Agriculture.
If I can,
yes, ma'am, sure.
you've also got to look at the design of the ballot. Mm-hmm. It's obviously not alphabetical. And in some races, it was not declared who was Republican or Democrat. But unfortunately, some people do think the design of the ballot leads one way or the other sometimes.
Yeah.
So you can kind of look at...
Aren't there also lawsuits occasionally over ballot orders and stuff
sometimes
like that?
Sometimes there are. But North Carolina has had a, you know, pretty strict alphabetical rule on how they do each election, and it's been publicized forever. But I can tell you, I mean, I can speak for, you know, all 100 counties, I'm sure of. But I know in Craven County, I can account for every ballot that was cast in my county. And if I can't, I give you an explanation, or I say, we just can't explain it. A lot of times a blank ballot was put in, you know, but that's in North Carolina, we have election night. And you have to remember, election night's not official. You have ballots you can take out to people who were not eligible to vote. That's why we have a 10-day canvass. So numbers can change from election night in some of the bigger places, you know, drastically in some cases. But then again, our checks and balances, we have to match what we tell out there of votes cast to history. And I would be more than happy, you know, anyone can see it, to show you how we do it in Craven County. I'm very proud of how we do it in Craven County. I'm very proud of my officials. You know, people do make mistakes, obviously, but I'm a numbers person. If I'm off one ballot, I'm digging.
Well, there's something that you said that I want to make sure I understand, and that is the governor's race, that during that period from November 15th to December 15th was changing as people were looking at the late arrivals and the provisional ballots, which ones to count, which ones not to count. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. And you said that it was a little over 50,000 votes that came in during that period.
Yes.
For the governor's race.
50,846 more votes.
But only 36,000 votes?
859 more ballots. That's a difference of 13,987.
That to me sounds too significant to be accidental.
Of course. And it's not a computer glitch. It's not some programming error. On May the 4th of this year, the director of the State Board of Elections, Kim Strack, briefed the House Committee on Elections mm-hmm. about their post-election audits and said that they had partnered with the counties to go out and inspect their, apparently the counties conduct some of their own internal audits as well as what the state does, and found absolutely no problems with the provisional ballots, that there were seemed to be no anomalies in the application of policy, no, you know, favoritism shown in one jurisdiction over another or something. And yet the numbers tell an entirely different story. Because yes. of the 100 counties in North Carolina, the most any county approved out of the bottom 99 was 897 provisional ballots. But Wake County, who was one of the last counties on November 29th to become official, approved 3,188 provisional ballots, a variance of more than 350%. And yet she stood there with a straight face and told us, the House Elections Committee, that they didn't find any discrepancies.
Well, let me stop y'all right there. We've got to take a quick break, or we're not going to get them all in. I know this is very interesting. What I find amazing, Major Dave, is sitting here, and he's repeating these numbers. He's not looking at any notes. It's remarkable the recall ability you have. But we're going to hear from our sponsors, and please, go to our sponsors, tell them you hear about them on CCTA Wake Up Call. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. For fresh, delicious seafood, come to Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro. We've got a big variety to choose from. Do you like shrimp, scallops, salmon? We've got them. We've got all sorts of fish. Right now, come for the soft-shell crabs from our place. Sausage and salmon we've smoked with pecan wood, devil crabs, and even peanuts we boil ourselves. You can also pick up seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sauces at Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 till 6.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Revolution, restoration, or stay the course, a call to action presented by historian and legal activist John Ainsworth. Sponsored by Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, Tuesday, September 19th, 7 p.m., downtown New Bern, Stanley Hall Ballroom. America is in a death spiral, economically, morally, and in liberty. Our Constitution has been violated, the federal government is out of control, and we struggle to find answers. Join 20-plus year historian, legal activist, and dynamic speaker John Ainsworth as he shares his in-depth knowledge of shocking events in America, which have reversed the nature of citizenship and have eliminated state rights. Finally, learn about a grassroots counter-revolutionary movement in which you can participate to take America back to her foundation. That's Tuesday, September 19th, downtown New Bern Stanley Hall Ballroom, sponsored by Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. Visit www.cctaxpayers.com for more information.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, if you've been with us, I'm sure your mind is just spinning from what you've heard. And I want to remind you now, these aren't made up figures that Major Dave is sharing with us. These are readily available. It's public information on the State Board of Elections website. You can download these spreadsheets. There's miles and miles of figures there. Major Dave has spent months digging through there and comparing and, you know, and has come up with these discrepancies, and he's been looking for answers. Major Dave, you said you've been to the legislature with some of what you found. How was that received?
Actually, very well. It all began back in February. I gave a public presentation, as I've done numerous times across the state since, in Greenville. And State Senator Norman Sanderson was there, Representative Michael Special was there, Representative George Cleveland was there. And so they had a chance to hear my presentation, and they only heard a fraction of what we've even talked about tonight, because that was in the early stages of my analysis. And thank goodness Senator Sanderson came up to me after the meeting and said, Dave, could I get an hour with you in my office in Raleigh next week? And I'm like, certainly, so I'd be glad to. And that started it.
Right.
And there are other members of the legislature that I know personally, and the conversations have just developed. It's been very informal, but I've briefed some very high-ranking people in both houses who do sit on the elections committees, who have the not only the purview to address this issue, but they have the duty to look into it. And they can't do the criminal investigative part, but they can address the systemic problems and how things like this could be happening, certain contracting irregularities with the vendors that we get the hardware and software from that need to be looked into. And they are still putting together a plan at this point of how to totally revamp our system. Basically, some of the hardware uses a 386 processor. And if anybody knows what that is, it was outdated in 1995, 10 years before the state ever bought it. And we're still using it 12 years later. So we're talking about technology that's two decades old. Frankly, Rick, most of us have more processing power in our smartphones.
Right, right.
Now, than these computers need.
You mentioned the contractors. Are we all the counties, is it all statewide the same contractor, or are there?
There's only one vendor certified by the State Board of Elections to provide our elections hardware and software, and they're out of Nebraska. Now, they actually don't do anything. They do it through a series of subcontracted companies. But when the Help America Vote Act funds apparently ran out in 2012 and the counties had to pick up the bill for funding the cost of our elections, that was unfair to the counties, because then they had to pay whatever that contract had already been agreed to. They had no flexibility to go out and seek their own sources. And the technology has evolved immensely since 2005. And it's going to be in the best interest of the state of North Carolina that we simply go back out with a new solicitation and let industry respond with the most state-of-the-art solutions that are out there.
I will say, legislatively, all North Carolina counties have to be paper by 2020.
Yes.
Have updated equipment. I can say for my county, thankfully, they have put reserves back. We got brand new DS200s in 2014. We got rid of the M100s, which were the older equipments who were aging out. We have the new DS200s in Craven County, and we're very, very happy with them.
Melanie, can you explain the significance of having it on paper?
I'm a paper voter lover. I think I like it, because you are actually, you know, choosing your people. It's not a computer. You are actually choosing it. It does go through a voter scan. But, you know, we do have hand-eye recounts, mandatory hand-eye recounts. They pick two precincts for two areas, and we actually have multi-partisan teams come and read them out, and so to make sure our machines are working. We also test them. We had a mock election the other day where we test the machines against the test day to make sure they're scanning them properly. To me, paper ballot is your vote.
Right.
You can't argue with the piece of paper.
So. Well, the reason I wanted to bring that up is because, you know, Major Dave's talking about the technology, mm-hmm. and some states, I believe, it's all electronic, and mm-hmm. there is no paper involved. And that
some
can
counties
be manip-
as well.
Yeah, that can be manipulated, you know, hacked into. By the way, in your investigations, have you seen any evidence of Russian involvement?
Oh,
I had to ask.
And I will just say, from my days in military intelligence, if the Russians had had a hand in it, they'd have done a lot better job.
Melanie, did you say some of the counties don't have to have a paper ballot?
They will by 2020, but there are some counties that are on the iVotronic, the DREs, which are old technology. There are still counties on DREs.
Well, thanks for sharing.
Mecklenburg's one of them.
Melanie, are there any counties that are still allowed to use party voting? In North Carolina?
No, not in North Carolina. You can't do straight party voting, no, sir.
All right, straight tickets out.
Rick, if I can take 1 second. She just mentioned that the county just purchased the M200 machine.
The
X200. It's my understanding that that uses a 486 processor, which was outdated in 2000 when it was replaced by the Pentium chip. Once again, this is the problem with being locked into the sole source contract since 2005. And nobody has been able to go out and see what industry has to offer today.
Who selects the contractor?
The State Board of Elections did.
Okay. Well, where the heck are these contractors getting this old technology?
They've had it sitting out there because they're getting top dollar for ancient equipment. And it's interesting. I did some more research into that phase of it, too. And there were other companies originally competing, like Diebold and Sequoia and IBM. And they had a provision in the solicitation that says, if your system fails, we can sue your CEO personally. Everybody bailed, except for ES&S.
Whoa.
And, a problem
and when they were the only company left standing in the competition, they deleted that provision from the contract and awarded it as a sole source contract.
And another major problem with using this incredibly ancient technology is the ability for a variety of people to do maintenance is now at a premium. So you have a monopoly because everybody who's learning the trade is learning with current technology. And now they can charge top dollar because the government can only have one contractor who's going to work on that old processor. And it probably comes from that same company.
Right. Wow. I want that to sink in what Major Dave just said, that they had a provision in that contract that the CEO could be sued personally. But once they decided they only got down to only one person still interested in it, they took that provision out.
That provision out.
Yes.
There are three or four companies in line trying to get certified right now in North Carolina, but because there is not a board, the certification program cannot be voted on for these to come in. But there are two or three companies in line now trying to get into the North Carolina market.
What I understand, Rick, is the biggest barrier that this old technology creates for us is that when we are tabulating results by voter tabulation districts, and you may have never heard that term before, but in some cases a precinct is subdivided. A congressional district line may cut mm-hmm. through the middle of a precinct. Mm-hmm. So you actually have to subdivide the precincts into voter tabulation districts. That's why you have multiple ballot formats available in a given precinct to vote. Not everybody's voting for the same judge or the same congressman.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This old technology limits the number of variations of that ballot that those scanners can accommodate. And I'm understanding that was part of the problem in Durham while the memory cards failed was because they had too many different ballot schemes. Ballot styles out there that caused it to fail. Now, that whether or not it was a factor in Durham or not is really irrelevant. It's simply a problem in the system that if it exists to any degree at all, is something that we could easily solve with today's technology that we could get for a tenth of the price off the shelf at Best Buy.
Yeah. I'm sure Melanie remembers these figures better than I do, but I do remember one election when Craven County had 29, I think it was a large number of different ballots throughout the county.
I, as a director, choose to do my ballots by precinct instead of ballot by style. What does that mean? Each voter has their own individual ballot. We do have a lot more ballot styles. Like, we have 31 ballot styles for the city of New Bern. But it is, what this does is, and the machine, the DS200 can handle more than the M100 does. What this does, it gives us better statistics, especially for candidates, because they can see how the people are voting in each of the precincts.
Great.
It also eliminates the early voting for my precinct officials to have to write the precinct name on there and have to write a code on there to make sure in this 30-day sort that you've sorted them. It takes the sort out. Election night, I've already sorted mine.
Yeah.
I don't have to go back and do the manipulation of the votes into the precincts. So I choose to do ballot by precinct. And it does create more ballot styles, but my we do scan the ballots, but my precinct officials, once they got a hold of it, to me it's a lot easier to reconcile too because it's more of a numbers game. I also use stubs in my county, so it's mathematical.
Well, people often ask me for a sample ballot, so I go on a state website and print their particular ballot. Mm-hmm. Because if you tried to have all the 30-some
It is harder for those who want to do sample ballots, but the best alternative to that is just provide a list of your preferred candidates.
Well, right. you mentioned the manipulation. To make sure the listeners here really understand, initially vote totals were reported not just by precinct, but also by voting method, like absentee, provisional, mm-hmm. curbside, transfer, etc. Mm-hmm. And the state statute gives the Board of Elections 30 days following the election to then credit those votes back into the precinct where the voter was registered. Mm-hmm. Except that to this day, there are report totals on the Board of Elections website still being shown by voting method in 15 of our 100 counties. Mm-hmm. This was as of February. And I mentioned the February date because that's almost 90 days following the election, and they still haven't gotten all the votes put back into the right precinct by the voter, reported by precinct.
During early voting, if a precinct official did not write that information, there's no way to know how to attribute that vote to a proper precinct. And also you use the voter tabulation district. That term, and for us, we don't use that anymore. That went away after 16. We now just do totals by precinct.
Right.
When you reference the different congressional, we call those jurisdictions,
right,
not voter tabulation districts. Gotcha. So.
And the other interesting thing about February was that on the 13th of February this year, every single election archive file on the state board's website was changed, going back to 2004. They show a field heading. It says date file was last modified, just like you can see on your home computer. And they all say February 13, 2017. The files were all renamed. And they changed the date format. For example, the absentee file used to be absentee 11XX08XX2016 for November 8, 2016. Well, now it's absentee 2016-1108. But it wasn't just a name change. There is a net gain of 1,723 more records in that February version of the absentee file than there was in the December version made public after the
Major Dave.
Yes.
Is there any way, any innocent way to explain that and to explain the 13,000 plus differential in votes in that governor's race once the late arrivals and the provisional ballots were brought in?
Right.
Is there any innocent way to explain either one of those things, or is something going on with the system?
Well, for that answer, you'd have to go back to the state board, because when media outlets began running articles on my work, they were contacted by the State Board of Elections and told basically that I was simply misinformed. I didn't understand how elections worked. I had made miscalculations. And when the media asked them for examples, they grew conspicuously silent. They have yet to provide any answer of why I'm wrong in anything I've come
then
up
with. I think I'm hearing there is something sinister going on here.
Exactly.
Right.
But it's going to take people with a lot more resources than I have to do that deeper digging.
Right. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because there are other outfits out there that are doing the same type of research. Civitas is one that comes to mind. There are some lawsuits that have been filed already, I believe.
Yes.
So
I think Major Dave has a lawsuit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, actually, yes, I just filed it this week.
And maybe you can tell us more about that after we come back from this break. We've got to hear from our sponsors again, and we appreciate them, and we hope you do too. Please stay tuned. Come back as we continue this conversation.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
There's something for everyone at Stingray Cafe in New Bern. For the seafood lover, there are oysters, shrimp, scallops, clams, crabs, snow crab legs, and a wide variety of fish. Not in the mood for seafood? How about a salad, a burger, beef brisket, or some good old hickory smoked barbecue? There's even a menu section for folks 10 and younger. Open 7 days a week to Stingray Cafe on South Front Street in New Bern, just across the street from the History Center.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Let me tell you real quick about our public meeting, which is the third Tuesday of each month, and that means this coming Tuesday, September 19th, we've got John Ainsworth and Cliff Muncie of America's Remedy. The topic is Revolution, Restoration, or Stay the Course. It's a call to action presented by the historian and legal activist John Ainsworth, and that's going to be Tuesday, September 19th, 7 p.m., Stanley Hall Ballroom, downtown New Bern. Free and open to the public. I also like to remind you about our Red, White, and Blue Barbecue Plate Fundraiser, which is Saturday, September 23rd, 4 to 7:30. That'll be at Highland Park Church, 905 Carolina Avenue in New Bern. You can call 252-649-0525 for tickets. Tickets are a $10 donation. And it's starting at 6 p.m. on that date, the old-fashioned stump speeches by the municipal candidates here in New Bern. Folks, we're out of time. We got to wrap it up. Melanie, thank you for all you do for Craven County Board of Elections. Where can they go for more information?
CravenVote.com. We have a new website or a new domain, CravenVote.com, and they can come to our webpage a lot easier than they used to could in the past. So CravenVote.com for that.
Thank you. Major Dave, you've got a lawsuit going on.
I had to with no sitting board of elections. Some records can be destroyed this November. They only retain them for 1 year. And so I filed a suit against Governor Cooper to force him to retain all those records beyond November as these legislative and law enforcement inquiries run their course to ensure that that evidence remains available.
Okay. Do you have a website or a place, a blog to go to?
My Facebook page, just go to Major Dave, or on YouTube, you can see videos about the elections anomalies. And that YouTube channel is Major Dave NC.
Major Dave NC.
Just type it all as one word.
Well, folks, this has been a very informative show. Thank you for tuning in. Come back and join us again next week for CCTA Wake Up Call.
The CCTA appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Stingray Cafe, South Front Street, New Bern, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, and Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55, Grantsboro. Also, the County Compass serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties, Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue, Force 5 Marine Saltwater Corrosion Inhibitor. Join us again next week at this time for your wake-up call from the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, online at cctaxpayers.com.